Welcome to Double Take with Matt and Jake. This is Black Friday, November 29th, day after Thanksgiving. Matt and I are sitting in our childhood room / recording studio. We're flipping between Virginia Tech and then Texas and Texas Tech. Games going on right now. We actually went Black Friday shopping last night, and like half the stores were closed. So I don't know why we went. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, it wasn't. If you know me, Black Friday is not really my thing, you know?
I think it was the first time we'd been. I think it was the first time I'd been.
Right. It was a support our younger siblings type of thing. And it was fun to be with them. But I would have rather had fun with them in a different place.
Maybe it's more crowded today than Thursday night. But it wasn't that crowded last night.
Still way too many people leaving their homes on Thanksgiving.
Yeah. I'm more of a Cyber Monday type guy.
Yeah.
Cyber Monday. Just shop online.
Right.
Well, hope everyone had a great Thanksgiving. We did, back in Utah. I was in Oregon last week.
Yes.
Matt missed out on that, wanted him to come. He actually wanted to come more than me, but I had to do this thing called work, so.
Yeah, I know. That's what happens when you have a job, is you gotta show up, and then. See, my thing, I just feel like you should have planned the trip for some time when I wasn't giving my kids a final, you know?
Well, I didn't know you were giving your kids a final.
You should have asked.
My bad. I will say it's a very pretty state. Autzen is an incredible stadium. Mm-hmm. Really cool. That's something we could do, rank stadiums one day.
Okay.
Rank the facilities. What we're going to do today, though, is talk about, as we're watching Virginia Tech's more of a rivalry than Texas and Texas Tech. They just happen to be in the same state. But we're going to talk about the biggest rivalry games in college football in terms of hate, just pure hatred from what we've been around. Nothing to do with national relevance or anything like that, although they are mostly not big schools, at least on my list.
Right, like it's very possible that Delaware and Delaware State just can't stand each other and we're just not aware of it.
Yeah, so. And I'm sure Pitt has some hatred with some folks, but they're not even coming close to my list. So.
Right, yeah.
RIP to the Pitt fans listening to this. Let's get started, Matt. Let's go. I have a list of 10. Probably won't get through them all. I think we're more shooting for 5. Might like list of 10, though. Do you want to start with number 1?
Yeah. No, this isn't my number 1. It's the first. I'm not necessarily putting these in any sort of an order.
Yeah. And again, we haven't looked at each other's lists yet.
Yeah.
So
I'm going to say, since we're looking at Texas right now, I'm going to say Texas and Oklahoma.
Really?
Yeah.
See, that did not make my list.
Interesting.
I'm interested to see your thoughts. I think it's a big game. Tell me about it.
Yeah, I just feel like, you know, there's a lot of pressure on it, and obviously they do it at the state fair. It's a big deal. It's obviously chippy. One thing I think is really, really big about this game, though, is that pretty much the winner of this game is going to win the Big 10, or sorry, the Big 12 that has 10 teams. I would probably say 8 out of 10 years that's the case. And so, you know, losing that game is, you know, even more disappointing than losing to your rival usually is. Because with this game, I feel like more than any other, that's determining who's going to win the conference.
Yeah, really more than any other conference, it's Texas and Oklahoma. And really, it's Oklahoma has been pretty dominant in that game and in the conference. Which is weird. I don't know why Texas hasn't. I do actually know why Texas hasn't been it. Maybe I should write a Texas article, Eric. I wrote a USC article.
Yeah.
You know, about why USC can't figure it out. But yeah, so that's a big game. You're convincing me. I might switch that. I might amend my list later on.
Yeah.
My number one, and I'm sure this is on your list.
Real quick, can I make an honorable mention since we're talking about Oklahoma?
Yeah.
So this is sort of a one-sided hatred. I wouldn't say that Oklahoma feels the same way. But Oklahoma State sure does hate Oklahoma.
Yeah. Oklahoma State, that's like the most lopsided. It's like 88-19 all time or something like that.
Right.
It's just like embarrassing for Oklahoma State. And Oklahoma State's been pretty good. Like they had Barry Sanders, you know what I mean? Like they're not a bad program. It's just they're not Oklahoma. And even a lot of the games in the last 10 years or so that like we've been alive and watching them, Oklahoma State loses in just the dumbest ways.
Yeah.
That's stupid. So, because they've been a really, like, they've been one of the more overachieving programs in the last decade or so, is Oklahoma State with Mike Gundy there. They just cannot beat Oklahoma.
Right. And it almost seems, regardless of, you know, how good Oklahoma or Oklahoma State is. I feel like a lot of these years Oklahoma State's actually been better, but for whatever reason, they just can't get Oklahoma.
Just every game, you know, you just feel like Oklahoma, like, how's Oklahoma State going to lose this game?
Yeah.
You know, another honorable mention, this is just on the tickers, but I'm thinking about it. Washington State has just the biggest little brother syndrome in the country to Washington. So, shout out to Washington State. Hope you can overcome that. Oh, you know what? We should, this didn't make our list, but let's just talk about it last night. The Egg Bowl. Did you see the ending to that?
I did not see the ending.
Did you see what happened?
No.
Okay. I guess I told our little brother, not you, about it. Okay. So we're going to get back to the list. But really quick, in the Egg Bowl last night. So that's Mississippi and Mississippi State. Mississippi State is up 7 with 4. Mississippi State's up 7. 4 seconds left. Ole Miss scores. So it's 20-21. And then the receiver does the Odell Beckham Jr.
Oh, I do remember this.
Sorry. I did show you. Okay.
Yeah.
He does the celebration where he pretended to pee like a dog. The refs gave a 15-yard penalty, and then the kicker missed the kick because of that. So Mississippi State won 20-21. So the headlines for that have been fantastic.
So the Egg Bowl is one of the weirdest rivalry games, but let's get back to the list. Matt, number one on my list was Ohio State-Michigan.
Yeah, that's a good one. They are on my list as well.
They don't like each other at all. And it's interesting because Ohio State's been dominant in that series. I think in this decade, it's like 7 in a row. Michigan won in 2011. So I think it's like 9 out of 10 or like 12 out of 13 or something ridiculous like that. And I view it as, you know, it's the state of Ohio. I know Michigan State is there, but really it's the state of Ohio versus the state of Michigan. It's interesting. Michigan, under Urban Meyer, he did a great job of this, of kind of locking down Ohio. But Michigan used to get a lot of Ohio kids. And if you look at their roster now, they just kind of gave up on recruiting Ohio. So Urban Meyer kind of switched that around. So Michigan gets a lot of – they're more – Ohio State's obviously national as well. But Michigan's had to go to other states where Ohio's actually a really big high school football state. And Michigan's not been able to recruit that, partly because Ohio State keeps winning, partly because Urban Meyer did such a great job. So I'm interested to see if Ryan Day, the new Ohio State head coach, can keep that trend up and keep the Ohio kids at least out of Michigan.
Yeah, it is going to be interesting. And, you know, that is one where, like, you know, Michigan has had some pretty good teams, but they haven't been, like, great really since, like, 2004 or whatever it was when Ohio State was the number one team in the country and Michigan was number two.
Yeah, when Troy Smith won the Heisman that year.
Yeah, like, yeah. I don't really remember Michigan, looking at Michigan being like, oh, they're going to win the national championship this year.
What was interesting is, so that was the year Florida beat Ohio State in the national championship in football and basketball. That started that streak of like 7 SEC national championships or 9 whatever in a row. Mm-hmm. And really, Ohio State and Michigan, there was talk that Michigan could still get into the national championship game. As even though they lost because it was such a close game with Ohio State and Michigan.
Right, that would have been stupid.
And then Florida steamrolled them.
Yeah.
I don't even remember what happened to Michigan in the bowl game that year.
I don't know.
I think they won the Rose Bowl. I just don't remember what happened. But yeah, that was crazy. But yeah, they hate each other like a lot. And I've talked to a couple people from bowl states. That is a legit hatred. They don't like each other at all. Where did they – I guess your list wasn't in order necessarily.
Yeah, I didn't really put them in order. I feel like I'm not, you know, as familiar or don't have my ear on the ground quite so much as you do with these things. But so mine is just sort of an out of order list. But they would certainly be near the top.
Well, that's 1A for me. I'll go to 1B, and you can tell me that you have it on your list as well. Auburn, Alabama.
Yep, they are definitely on there.
Yeah, Auburn actually appears a couple times on mine. And so that's this week. They call it the Iron Bowl. And the 2013 game of Auburn-Alabama was the greatest game I've ever seen in my entire life. That was the kick six game. And everybody remembers the kick six part of it, which was fantastic. But the entire game, what I was watching it. It was me, you, and our neighbor Ryan Chatlin. Shout out to Ryan. He was watching it. And he's not even a football fan, so I don't know why he was watching it with us. But he was over at our house. We were watching it. I think our mom was in there as well. And it was just literally the best football game I've ever seen in my life. And Auburn won. And Alabama's been pretty dominant. But the games that Auburn's won has been huge. Auburn, they won the kick six, obviously, that year. They went to the national title game. Cam Newton just steamrolled Alabama when he was there.
And if Auburn wins on Saturday, it'll A, keep Alabama for sure out of the playoff, and it'll be 2 out of 3 for Auburn against Alabama, which usually people look at how dominant Alabama's been in the under Nick Saban, but Gus Malzahn, the Auburn coach, is really the only coach who's consistently proven he can, even if it's not more than half the time, like actually beat Nick Saban, which is part of what makes it so interesting.
Right. Yeah, no, that's – I can't really think of a – I'll definitely give this rivalry this. Oregon has really hurt Alabama more than any other rival, I think, has, like, messed up another team's chances at going to the playoff or BCS Bowl or whatever it's been.
Auburn has messed them up?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, no, Auburn really – and Auburn, I feel like that's just Auburn's role in the college football, in the SEC in particular, is just to screw other teams up.
Right, like they're not going to – they had that national championship a little bit ago, but really like they're that's not what you expect from them. You expect them – they're one of those hard teams that's like, oh, this is going to mess up somebody else trying to go for a national championship.
Yeah, and they're –
it's usually Alabama.
And they're consistently the funnest team to watch that I don't care about whatsoever.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Auburn, Alabama, Ohio State, Michigan, that's number 1 and 1B for me. And the next one, I know this is on your list, could be number one. It's unique. I didn't want to be a homer is why I didn't put it at number one. But Utah-BYU is a unique kind of hatred because there's so much religion tied into it.
Yeah.
So for just quick, BYU, private religious school, University of Utah, not obviously a private religious school. And there's a lot of Mormons who go to BYU. I meant to say Utah, obviously a lot of Mormons go to BYU. Right. And there's obviously not a lot of non-Mormons who go to University of Utah as well. And there's just so much religion and culture intertwined into that football game that it's just very personal for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's – and the other thing is there's not – and this is probably true for a lot of other schools, but I feel like there are not a lot of people leave the state to go to college in Utah. I feel like most people are going to be going to Utah – or BYU, or even Utah State. So, yeah, it is interesting, and I feel like you get a lot of people interested in the BYU-Utah football game who don't actually care about football, or particularly college football, but this game is very important to them just because of the... I don't even want to say religious implications, because obviously it doesn't or shouldn't mean anything, but just the way that religion is involved in it and who goes to what school, people seem to very much care about it, even if they don't care about football.
Well, yeah, because so we both went to BYU. I grew up a University of Utah fan, though. So part of it is that, and I disagree with this, but a lot of BYU students think that, like, everyone who wanted to go to, who goes to Utah also wanted to go to BYU. So they have this, like, superiority complex kind of tied into it. And
I don't know if I'd say a lot of BYU of people who go to BYU actually feel that way.
I'd say a lot.
I disagree, but that is part of the problem.
A lot of the people I interacted with, a lot of the BYU football fans.
Okay. I had less interactions of that type.
Matt enjoyed Provo more than I did.
Yeah.
We'll say that.
That's also true.
Here's my thing. I just feel whatever the amount is, there are, we'll say some at least, the amount we can disagree on. There's a feeling among some that they're better than Utah kids, Utah students, Utah players, because they go to BYU and their students don't. And we all know that that's not true. You know, there's a lot of people who go to Utah who like Utah. Our mom teaches at the University of Utah. So just that bugs me from a BYU perspective. But and it bugs Utah fans. So they, and then they rub it in the religion thing. So it's a very personal hatred, that Utah-BYU game.
Yes, definitely. Although I will say, if we're going to talk about the BYU side, we have to acknowledge that I think, and I still think there's a small amount of people, but I think it gets blown out of proportion, particularly in the minds of BYU fans. I think there's a lot of Utah fans who do look and they say, oh, all of these BYU fans are just, you know, arrogant. I don't even know what the right word is. But yeah, basically the Utah fans also think they're better than the BYU fans because they see these BYU fans as just kind of arrogant, holier-than-thou type people, which I think the BYU fans also resent.
That's the stereotype, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
It's an interesting game, and BYU's lost some weird ways as well. We were talking about what was we were talking about where they lost weird? Oklahoma State.
Yeah.
Utah's won 9 in a row, and it's this year wasn't close, but there's been a lot of close years where one time they missed 3 different field goals to lose. It was really
that was a bummer.
Yeah.
There was the bowl game where BYU I think actually outplayed Utah except for the 5 turnovers in the first 6 minutes or whatever. I was very close to like stopping being a BYU fan altogether after Taysom Hill didn't convert that 2-point conversion. And still my fandom has never been the same ever since then. It just broke me.
Yeah, that did really do something to Matt's soul.
Yeah.
That game. Well, let's move on to the next number 4 on my list. I'm interested to see when we stop agreeing or when the lists stop matching up. Here's number 4. So another Southern rivalry. I was worried it was going to be a lot of West Coast stuff, and then I made the list like, oh, it's a lot of SEC stuff.
Yeah, no, there's not a ton of like hatred in the Pac-12.
The Pac-12, there's more going on.
It's not like Arizona and Arizona State are just bitter, bitter rivals.
Yeah, I had them on the list, but then I just kept thinking of other games where I was like, oh, that's above it. That's above it. That's above it.
Yeah, like I'm sure that they want to win the games, obviously.
I will say, watch the Arizona State game, watching it not at the game, but like just in Tempe or in Tucson, just where everybody hanging out, because they're like whatever in Arizona State is called Mill Avenue, like just as with all the restaurants and stuff, they all have the games on, and everybody's wearing either their Arizona or U of A stuff. It is fun to watch it there.
Yeah.
Arizona State, just in general, fun place to watch a football game, especially the U of A game. So that's our honorable mention. A lot of Pac-12 schools are getting honorable mentions. Not a lot of on the list,
though. Not a lot of actually making the
cut. Yeah. Here's number 4, though. Florida State.
Okay. I have Florida, but not Florida State.
Really? So. I'm interested to see where I have Florida later on, so I'm sure that's where we have them. And when we just talk, what's the one you have Florida in?
I have Florida, Georgia.
Okay, that's on my list, too. And neither of us are Florida fans, so I'm sure some view Georgia as a bigger rival than Florida State. The reason I put Florida State higher is because the feeling I have is it's the state thing, you know what I mean?
Right.
It's like just in-state Florida, or Gainesville and Tallahassee, pretty close to each other. They're both in northern Florida. They're battling for the same recruits. Florida State is really an SEC program, even though it's in the ACC, and they're honestly, like, really similar. Like, I know Gainesville has more of a quote-unquote redneck reputation, but Tallahassee, to me, is just as southern as Gainesville, Florida is.
Right.
So, that's why I had it up there. It's in-state. It matters. So, again, really a lot of stuff you can say about Georgia, so we can just talk about that game after this one. But Florida State, it matters so much for recruiting, and a lot of people could have gone to, have family went to either Florida or Florida State, and it's the state of Florida is arguably overcoming Texas for the biggest football state in the country. It's for sure in the top 3. So it's just the biggest game for one of the biggest states in the country.
Yeah. See, I agree with those. I put Georgia on there and not Florida State just because, like you said, Florida State is technically in the SEC. So I feel like the games that Florida and Georgia play end up meaning more. I think there is some, at least for Florida fans, they see it as Florida versus Georgia in the same way that it's kind of Ohio State, the state of Ohio versus the state of Michigan. Although there are enough Miami and Florida State fans where I feel like that comparison doesn't hold up nearly as well as the Ohio State Michigan one.
Well, yeah, because Florida State plays Miami every year. That's a huge rivalry game for them. And I think Florida Georgia has a lot of similarities to Oklahoma and Texas. It's a neutral site game. It's not the end of the year. It's middle of the season game. I have the hiccups, excuse me. Every time we record, I feel like I have the hiccups.
You do the hiccups a lot.
But yeah, so middle of the season game, neutral site. They play in Jacksonville, Florida, which is like about halfway between Athens and Gainesville. And there are a lot of kids from Florida who go play Georgia, a lot of Georgia kids who go play at Florida. So a lot of them, it's just like Florida State, there's a lot of kids who played high school football together, either with each other, against each other in high school, now they're playing against each other in college, which always adds to it. The familiarity breeds contempt. I don't know who said that, but I wasn't the first one to say that.
Sure.
That quote, you know what I mean? So So that's a big game. And, yeah, it often determines the SEC East because Missouri made the conference championship a few years ago for the SEC East. But other than that, Tennessee's not doing anything. South Carolina's not doing anything. Who else is even in the SEC East? Like, Tennessee doesn't matter. Tennessee-Florida is actually a big game, but they didn't make the list just because Tennessee hasn't done anything relevant. Yeah, Tennessee-Alabama, another big rivalry game, but Tennessee needs to pick it up to get on the list.
Right, yeah, Tennessee, I feel, like, were they good before we, like, really started watching football?
They won the national championship, so they had Peyton Manning in 98, and then the year after, I think, I might be wrong, but it was the year after they won the Heisman. Peyton Manning was with the Colts, and then T. Martin, who's their offensive coordinator, they won the national championship, but from what I can tell as far as research, is that was just like, except for maybe Colorado in 2000, just the weirdest national champ. Maybe Colorado's 2001, but it was the weirdest national champ. Just like everybody kept losing, and they had to make somebody a national champion, and Tennessee's kind of walked into it.
Okay. I thought you were going to say BYU.
No, but that is another one, that 1984 national championship, because BYU is the only undefeated team. You know, a lot of Washington BYU is a weird rivalry that, you know, they don't play that often.
Right, but the games seem to matter more.
Washington hates BYU because Washington feels like they should have won that 1984 national championship.
Yeah, and Washington screwed up BYU's, who a lot of people think actually was a better team, with Steve Sarkisian. Was that 96?
Think so.
Because a lot of people think that was a better team, but they couldn't win the national championship because they lost to Washington.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, not a lot of people know Steve Sarkisian went to BYU.
He did go to BYU. He was very good for BYU.
Very good for BYU.
Yeah.
But, yeah, shout out to, honorable mention again, Washington BYU.
Yeah. I love, and I do love those organic rivalries that are not based off of proximity or conference or anything. It's just two teams that play each other. And they fight, and they mess each other up, and they just don't like each other.
They just, like, have learned to hate each other. It's just become a thing.
Yeah, like a Real Salt Lake sport in Kansas City.
Yeah, that's a big one.
Real quick, Geoffrey Chaucer said that familiarity breeds contempt.
Geoffrey Chaucer, my man Jeff. Yeah. Who is Geoffrey Chaucer?
He was an English writer. He's the first... So he wrote the Canterbury Tales, which is, for a lot of people, the earliest story written in English that's, like, recognizable English. Like, you can't really read Beowulf, but you can read the Canterbury Tales.
Coastal Carolina are the Chanteliers.
Yes, from the Canterbury Tales.
Yes.
Yes, who probably hate Duke.
I don't think that... You know what was cool? Is a couple years ago, Coastal Carolina won the national championship in baseball, and both... The University of South Carolina and Clemson, like, the official universities were, like, supporting him and, like, congratulating them. So, it's not at all what we're talking about, but it was pretty cool.
Yeah,
you know, because, like, in California, if, like, Fresno State won the national championship in soccer, USC wouldn't be, like, way to go.
They wouldn't be into it.
So, yeah, good for Coastal Carolina. Josh Norman is a proud alum, a proud Chanteler.
Okay, what happened to him? Did he just get his money and then not... be good anymore, or is it just because he played for Washington that nobody cared?
Well, I think it's a combination of the ball. I think he hasn't been good because he's played for Washington.
Yeah.
Is the deal. But yeah, he's really kind of gone off a cliff. He was good his first year in Washington. All right, so that's our Florida. I think that's most of my Florida. Should I just go to the next Georgia game I have on the rivalry?
Yeah, go to the next Georgia one.
Because another big Georgia rivalry, and we're not even including Georgia Tech on the list, because people I've talked to from, and I've talked to even people from Georgia Tech, as well as people from Georgia, you know, it's just not that relevant, like the Georgia Tech game. But Georgia Auburn, and that's not something I really even understood until recently, but they hate each other a lot. And they're the teams, just like Alabama and Tennessee. So in the SEC, how the scheduling works, you play 8 games, 6 conference games, 6 are in your division. There's one rotating opponent and then one opponent from the other division that you play every year. That's supposed to be your rivalry game. Alabama and Tennessee, that's the game. LSU, Florida, that's their game. Auburn and Georgia play each other every year. And they're actually changing next year, but it's always been like the third to last week of the season. So Auburn would play Georgia, then the FCS team, then Alabama is how it's been. But they're changing that next year.
It seems like Tennessee got the short straw playing Alabama.
Yeah, sure. Tennessee got hosed for sure.
Yeah, like LSU and Florida, like that seems like 50-50, or Georgia and Auburn, that seems, in recent years, more towards Auburn, but historically probably 50-50, maybe leaning a little bit more towards Florida. But Tennessee playing Alabama every year, that's rough.
Yeah, and I don't, if I had like pen and paper in 5 minutes, I could figure out like who everything is. But just off the top of my head, I'm not sure who Arkansas's rotating opponent is, but somebody gets to play Arkansas every year, and Tennessee has to play Alabama.
Right, yeah.
So, that sucks. But yeah, Auburn-Georgia, big rivalry game. I don't get how this works. So, it used to be called the South's oldest rivalry, but then North Carolina and Virginia started being like, we actually played earlier, we're the oldest rivalry in the South. So, then they changed it to the Deep South's oldest rivalry, which I feel like is getting very specific in terms of, like, geographic. You know what I mean?
Right.
But Georgia, Auburn, very big game. It's one of my favorite games to watch because they're like such contrasting styles. Georgia plays like it's 1994. Auburn plays like it's 2022 in terms of like offense, like what they're running. And this game, Auburn almost won. That would have messed things up a lot. But Georgia played pretty well and didn't give up any points until the fourth quarter in that game. But I honestly considered putting Georgia ahead, Georgia and Auburn ahead of Auburn, Alabama. It was a very short consideration because I was like, okay, Alabama's obviously a bigger game, but Georgia's a really big game for those Auburn folks. War Eagle. All right, next game. Is there anything that I've hit that you haven't had or that I've missed so far?
No, you've been pretty good. One that I don't want to talk about for a ton, but that I suspect you might not have on the list is another Oklahoma State type of a rivalry. I feel like, you know, Houston is very resentful towards Texas as far as a little brother, like, not being let into the club. But also Texas is very much against Houston getting recruits or being allowed into the Big 12 or being respected as a program. And I feel like they actively try to make sure that Houston can't become a threat to them.
Well, yeah, really just Texas. The entire state of Texas and the universities, it's so political.
Yeah.
You know, because the Houston Rockets owner, Tillman Fertitta, he's a huge University of Houston donor. And Baylor actually got into the Big 12 in the first place, I think instead of Houston. I might be wrong, but I know Baylor got in the Big 12 because the Texas governor was a Baylor alum. So she, like, did some political backdoor thing, like make sure Baylor got in the Big 12. So just that's a whole different episode we can talk about. It's just like the politics of Texas football and how they affect everything. And yeah, Houston, because they, if they were in Power 5, their Dana Holgerson left a Power 5 job at West Virginia to go to Houston because it's such a big talent base. There's so much money there. So even though it's a group of five school, technically, it's really the most similar to a Power 5 program, I think, out of any group of five team.
Right.
I think more than UCF, I think more than Cincinnati, more than Memphis is Houston.
Yep. I think BYU fans are going to be upset with you, but I still think you're correct.
Yeah, BYU. I don't know what BYU is.
Right. Can I also say Tillman Fertitta is like the least Texas name I've ever heard?
He's just the worst, honestly. Like, I'm sure he's a nice guy, but he wrote a book called Shut Up and Listen. He's just like the most arrogant, pompous, and I guess he's rich, so he has a... feels like he can do that, but
yeah.
But yeah, I don't like the Rockets, so that's part of the reason I don't like him that much.
Yes.
Let's check the time we're at, Matt, and then I'll go to my next one. While we're in Texas, this isn't my next one necessarily, but Texas versus Texas A&M, that's another one kind of like BYU Washington, where they don't play each other anymore, and they're such big rivals that they don't play. You know?
Yeah.
They really hate each other, like, a lot. And because Texas A&M they're in College Station. That's a little bit outside of Houston. I think like 45 minutes. Texas is in Austin, obviously. And then obviously Texas has been so good for so long. And Texas A&M just has never been able to do anything. And Texas A&M, I think maybe as any much as other school in the country, wants so bad to be a big program and just can't be.
Right.
They just can't do it.
Yeah, it does seem that they want it even more than Tennessee. Like, I feel like Tennessee fans want it real bad, but the university just doesn't care as much as they do. But yeah, A&M, it feels like they're trying so, so hard.
They gave Jimbo Fisher a $75 million contract. He's making $7.5 million a year, which is absurd. That's so much money.
That is a ton of money.
Like, they just put so much money and so much resources. Like, there's, it's just different in Texas. Even though I talked about Florida in terms of, like, high school talent might be overpassing Texas depending on what you look at. And Alabama has a lot of want to. I think Alabama's probably a close number second to Texas A&M for want to. And they actually get it done. They fired a coach at Alabama who won the SEC championship that year.
Yeah.
But at Texas A&M, it's frustrating because they can't do it. And they don't know why. They don't know what to do. But from Texas' perspective, they view it as we do not gain anything from playing them. They're the ones. And it has to do with the Big 12 as well. Because Texas A&M left the Big 12 to join the SEC in a way to become a quote-unquote, like, big boy. So Texas is like, screw you if you don't, because the Big 12 is really Texas's conference.
Right.
They got their own deal. Texas A&M didn't want to be part of the Longhorn, like agree to have Texas have their own network, which is another part of the reason why they left. So there's a lot of just Texas politics in the back behind that rivalry, that to the point where they're not playing anymore. And it's kind of like a pride thing. Like neither of them, both of them, the athletic directors have talked about, they don't want to play the other one. Because they don't need the other one. They're trying to show that they're better off without. They're both, like, they broke up, and they're trying to show their ex that they're better without them. Yeah. Even though, really, they both want to beat the other one, but Texas A&M can't beat them on the field, so they're trying to beat them off the field.
Mm-hmm.
So, and Texas feels the same way. Texas, from my Texas people that I talk to, and from what I hear, Texas doesn't want to play them either. So it seems like a very mutual dislike, which is weird. Because most, like, it's really the only thing I can think of in college football where they don't like each other so much. Everyone else wants to play their rival so they can beat them.
Right, yeah. Like when Utah canceled the BYU game a couple of years back for a couple of years, BYU fans just lost their minds. No way. Well, that's not true. Well, I will say, and I love BYU, but we are the most naively optimistic fans in the country. So, like, I still wanted to play Utah, even though I thought we were going to lose. I would say BYU fans wanted to play Utah so that they could win. There was no realistic chance we were going to win, but I wanted to at least lose trying.
Yeah, well, and BYU, Utah canceled that game so they could play Michigan, and they canceled the BYU game. I think it's 2022 and 2023. So they could play the University of Florida. And BYU fans are so mad. And the argument they make is that, oh, Utah owes it to the fans and to the state to play the game. And Utah's like, we recruit heavily in Florida. Like, we don't owe anything to BYU. So we're going to go play one of the top 10 programs in the country.
Utah does have a weird amount of, also Texas, but really Florida. Because Tyler Huntley, Florida.
Quarterback,
Florida, running back. Same high school, correct?
Yeah, so Utah starting quarterback, running back, and one of their receivers all went to same high school in South Florida.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's an interesting note.
Well, it's because Texas, or Utah, they're never going to out-recruit USC in California. Every Pac-12 school has to recruit in California, and Utah does a lot of that. But realistically, they're never going to out-recruit Oregon or USC or Washington in California.
Yeah.
So they go to Texas. They get a lot of Texas kids. But a lot of USC recruits nationally. They're in Texas as well. Arizona. The Arizona schools get a lot of Texas kids. So Utah has to recruit other places. So they get a lot of JC places. And they're the only Pac-12 school that has a real presence in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
So that's beneficial. It's hard because it's so far away. But also, instead of recruiting against the same people all the time, like, because Florida kids, they're getting recruited all the southern schools, and then Utah comes in, it's something different,
mm-hmm.
you know, so that's why Utah has such a heavy Florida, and it really, because Dennis Erickson, used to be the head coach in Miami, one of the times they were really good, he was in, like, offensive analyst or something like that, so he really opened that Florida pipeline for Utah, which is obviously, again, their quarterback and their running back are having tremendous years, has paid dividends, really big dividends for Utah.
Yeah.
I love recruiting. We could talk about that for a whole podcast, just like different recruiting stuff.
For sure.
We won't, though, on this one at least.
Yeah. Well, I've got one more.
What's your one more?
My one more is, figure we do at least one Pac-12 one, is Stanford USC.
Okay. Let's just talk some Pac-12 stuff, because I was debating between them. That's a big one. I think Stanford USC is bigger than USC UCLA.
Yes.
As far as USC is concerned.
Death. In terms of, especially because we said at the beginning we were doing it based on hatred much more than football relevancy. This one is obviously much more relevant than UCLA because UCLA is terrible. But just in terms of like authentic hatred, these guys are got to be near the top.
They hate each other. Stanford, and I would put Oregon, I'd say USC has surpassed Oregon as kind of the big game for Stanford. Growing up when we were in high school, Stanford and Oregon were the top two teams in the Pac-12 consistently. You know, they had Marcus Mariota, then Stanford had Andrew Luck. And there were so many times that Stanford was undefeated. Oregon beat Stanford and knocked them out of the national title race. That was 2011, I believe, the time I'm thinking of. But Oregon-Stanford used to be the big game. I think USC's replaced that because they play – it's an older rivalry. And they really started with Jim Harbaugh and Pete Carroll when Stanford was like a 40-point underdog, and Jim Harbaugh went to the Coliseum, beat number one USC. Pete Carroll said the whole "what's your deal" thing. I forgot what Jim Harbaugh did to prompt that, but ever since that game, the next year USC won in Stanford. Then the year after that, Stanford went back to the Coliseum and won. So for USC, they're like, okay, this is a serious problem. We can't keep losing to Stanford, because really, there's no reason Stanford should out-recruit USC. It's a smaller school, less football tradition. It's further away from Los Angeles, which is the powerhouse as far as like high school recruiting in California in the Pac-12, and they keep losing. They keep losing to Stanford, and when USC beats or loses to Stanford, it's because they get pushed around. And when USC beats Stanford, it's because the athletes are on point. Like this year, USC won by 20-something points, and their athletes, Michael Pittman, Amon-Ra St. Brown, were just lighting Stanford up. And both teams, and even like alumni from USC, like it's a big game. So I think that's a big one to have. And as a fan of just Pac-12 football, we live in the West Coast, so we watch a lot of it. It's my favorite, honestly, one of my favorite games of the year is I have to watch that Stanford-USC game.
Yeah, for sure. And one thing that I think is interesting is I know that Stanford was, I think, good before we were alive, from what I understand. But for us, when Stanford started to beat USC, Stanford was terrible. And I think that's true for most of the players. Most of the players on those teams and most of the players on the teams now grew up with Stanford just being a terrible football team, which was fine because it was Stanford. So I think that it was, you know, and you talked about this a little bit, but I think it was more embarrassing than losing to like a UCLA or an Oregon.
Yeah, that, honestly, you can make an argument that that was the worst loss in USC history.
Yeah.
Because really, Pete Carroll's out the door a couple years later, and instead of USC being the team, that's 2007 is when it started to shift to Oregon and Stanford, where now it's probably Oregon and Washington are the big teams in the Pac-12. But really, that loss, and USC had lost other games before, but that Stanford loss is when I think it started going from USC's like that team's like, oh, they lost to Stanford. And then there was kind of a power shift in the Pac-12 that USC hasn't recovered from.
Well, yeah, we went to Stanford, and it was not the same year as that game. It was like 3 years later, and they were still selling T-shirts that said, "We beat USC in 2005 or whatever.
I have one, yeah. Right. It's like biggest upset ever.
Yeah.
It's a huge thing for Stanford, because I think Stanford went like 1-11 the year before.
Right.
And didn't even make a bowl game that year. They actually beat USC. And it's just literally unbelievable that they actually won that game. And then Jim Harbaugh elevated Stanford. They went to the Rose Bowl several times, and then he left for San Francisco, the other 49ers. And then David Shaw, who's a legitimate top 25 coach in the country, came in. And Stanford's having a bad year right now, but that has a lot of injuries going on with them. Their offensive line, they lost a lot of starters last year, and then this year a lot of them have been injured. So this year's an aberration more than anything, but Stanford's just never gone away. And that's a huge game. My favorite game that I don't have any like ties to is Stanford USC in the entire year.
Yeah, it's a fun game.
Fun game. We got time for one more, and then we'll wrap up. Let's see the Pac-12. I'll go Stanford, Oregon. We already talked about Oregon. Washington is another big game.
Yes,
they really hate each other a lot. David Shaw, Stanford's coach, has described that as the quote-unquote nastiest rivalry in the Pac-12. So whatever that means. And especially right now, that's become Like Oregon was they were on a 9-game win streak over Washington, and then with Jake Browning, Washington beat them like 63-14, just embarrassed them. And now it's back to and then Oregon's won 2 years in a row. They won last year in overtime. This year they had that comeback in Seattle to win. And that's just the whole because Washington has Washington State, Oregon has Oregon State, but those two programs, Oregon and Washington, have kind of a big brother situation going on for the most part. So Oregon, Washington, that's really the Northwest. And up there, there's so many people who like live in Oregon from Washington or vice versa, from Oregon live in Seattle. So there's just so much inner whatever going on. They're recruiting the same kids, both in Los Angeles and also up in the Northwest, they're recruiting the same kids as well. So there's just a lot of that familiarity and comparison with each other. They're always, and the state of Oregon, the state of Washington in general, I think have that comparison and that competitiveness, which is why it adds to that college football rivalry.
Yeah.
Sure. All right. That was about 40 minutes of just talking about football rivalries.
It was.
Hope everyone had a great Thanksgiving. If we missed anything, let us know. Again, feel free to let us know by leaving a 5-star review, letting us know how much you liked it. It's on like Apple, Spotify, Stitch, iHeartRadio, Google, anywhere you get your podcast, it's on there. Twitter and Instagram's at MJDoubleTake. My Twitter handle's at JacobCowden28. Matt's is at MattCowden24. Appreciate everybody listening, and we're going to – what are we doing today? We're going to our little sister's concert. Little brother's going to come over and cook some brisket. So I'll be in Utah for a couple more days. Excited to hang out.
Yeah.
Keep hanging out.
It's going to be a good time. Can I have you react to a tweet real quick before we go?
Breaking news, apparently. Yes.
Yes, breaking news. This happened 5 days ago.
Okay.
So it's not breaking, but it's not going to be – it's about Utah high school football. So it's going to be a little bit more of a
deep dive. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember this. Okay. Yeah.
So, Corner Canyon, a high school football, very good high school football team, they tweeted out final score, Corner Canyon, 49, American Fork, I assume American Fork, AF,
yeah,
14. Okay. Chargers finished 14-0, 26 straight wins, and cement their legacy as the best Utah high school football team of all time. Your thoughts?
Well, I think Bingham from 2011 is the best team of all time, right?
That's I mean,
or 2010.
That's the year that we graduated high school. But I didn't. They won at least 26 games, if not more.
I don't know how many games they won in a row. I know they're on. Here's the thing. So that first of all, Conwood High School would have beaten Bingham if we played them, but we had some extenuating circumstances going on, so we didn't actually. We were number 2 in the state, but that Bingham team. I think it was like 19 out of 24 starters, if you count special teams, had scholarship offers.
Right.
Like, literally everyone went to play college football. And so I just think that Bingham team would be – I'd have to look at Corner Canyon's recruiting things, stats, but that's what I would look at is Bingham was basically a college team.
Right. Yeah. No, they were so talented. Like, Harvey Longy was on that team.
Running back in the NFL.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure that you could.
They got it. I think Dalton Schultz was on that team. It was a Dallas Cowboys tight end. It might have been Austin Hooper, but both of them went to Stanford, and then Austin Hooper plays tight end for the Falcons. But there's a lot of Bingham guys in the NFL from that team.
Yeah.
So that's what I would say.
Yeah. I agree. I just thought that it was, like, to say the best of all time, you got to look at those Bingham teams who were just insane, and then you have you know, Davis, who has been like really, really good, although this Corner Canyon team is, I think, probably with the Davis, some of those really old West teams, but I would,
you know. Yeah, West high school in the 20s was something not to mess with.
Right, yeah, and so it's hard, I don't know how you compare those, but certainly I would say that Bingham 2010 team would probably be above what Corner Canyon's done so far.
And I still think Cottonwood would have. Well, my high school would have beaten them. Our high school would have beaten them if we played. But extenuating circumstances. Hope everybody happy Thanksgiving. Next time we record, I'll be back in Arizona. And we'll talk to y'all later.